Morning. Today's daf and bab and siyas lamed vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the zeh and shmas liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We're at the very top of lamed hem and beis right now, starting for the literally the first words on the daf on the amud. Just finishing up from yesterday's discussion. Yesterday we got involved for a second time in the mesechta with the topic of somebody who defaulted on a loan and and the malvin, the lender, foreclosed on the property. And when you foreclose on the property, so that means that now you're the rightful owner of the property. Can you allow the borrower to ever buy back the property? So we already saw that in this discussion there are two prevalent opinions, the Yeshiva Nahardai and a Meimar. Yeshiva Nahardai says that we should give the borrower a year opportunity to buy back his property, and the Meimar said no, actually we should give him an indefinite right to buy back his property. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that doesn't speak to this idea, but speaks to the general idea of being a good guy when it comes to financial matters. And the Torah says, "Vasisa yashara tov." You should do what's right. And obviously, the person who defaulted on the loan did never wanted his property taken away from him, and the property was just there to secure the loan. And you should give him an indefinite right to buy back the property. Says the Gemara in the conclusion of yesterday's daf. And then what we discussed is that after foreclosing on a property, if you were to then subsequently sell the property, which you have every right to do, is your property. In other words, as long as you foreclose on the property belongs to you. So if you sell the property, give the property, or basically move the property into somebody else's possession. So the only exception we mentioned yesterday is if you yourself were foreclosed upon, and the second creditor came and foreclosed upon you. But outside of that notable exception, generally speaking, once you move the property and transfer the property over to somebody else's possession, at that point in time, now the door is closed. The defaulted borrower can no longer get back his property, because whoever buys that property from the creditor obviously bought it with the intent of not giving it back to the borrower, and under such circumstances, under such terms, there's no expectation that the borrower should be able to buy back his property. Okay, that's all we said yesterday. On the very top of Laman Hamid Bays, continuing from where we left off yesterday, Agbe Ibachova, there's one other case that the Gemara now is going to deal with, and that's the following. Let's say he collected the property itself with the obligation. What exactly is going on over here? So Klomar, if you take a look at the very top Rashi on Laman Hamid Bays, Im lo shamua based in Lamava, al karchu shalove, v'kamle me'atzmo, v'lo hi trichu ledin, v'amar lo tol karkas debachovech. Basically, as Rashi explains to Gemara now, the borrower knows that he's going to go into default, and he knows that if we go forward with this, we're going to go to Beis Din, and Beis Din is going to foreclose on my property, and he's going to allow the creditor to foreclose on my property. I'll tell you what. The borrower says to the lender, look, I know where this is headed. So, you know what? I owe you money. Here, take the property. And so basically now the borrower, without having to go through the Beis Din and all this, basically says to the lender, you'll just simply take my property in lieu of payment that I owe you. Okay, now under those circumstances, without having to have gone through Beis Din, are we going to have the same understanding and arrangement where the borrower can now buy back his property? So on this, pligi by Rav Acha v'Ravina, so the Gemara quotes a debate on this very issue. Chanamar hajva, chanamar lo hajra. So here, a debate between the Amoraim, whether or not it should or should not go back. Mandam lo hajra. So the Gemara goes over svaras. Let's go over arguments. In terms of the argument not to that it shouldn't go back, so savra hai zvini mal yehi. Dehai midai de denafshe agbe. So the argument that it shouldn't go back is because this was all volitional. It was done with the will and the intent of the borrower. The borrower understood that he owes a debt. The borrower understood that he does not want to go into foreclosure. He does not want to default on the loan. So he willingly gives the property over. Gives not the right verb. But now sells the property over to the lender as satisfaction of the payment. So now, under these terms, you can't really expect the borrower to be able to buy back the property. He willingly did so. The Gemara says, "Aman darmar hadra sever lo zvini ma'al yahi." Now, on the other side, the Gemara says you can make another argument, and that is the following: this is not really a willing sale. V'hai da'agbe midaitev lo asa ledina machmas kisufahu da'agbe u'me'em asacho. I'm sorry, da'agbe. So the Gemara over here says, and on the counter argument, you could say like this. Look, the truth of the matter is that, let's not call this a willing sale. I didn't want to separate with my property. I just knew where we were heading. I knew I was heading to default. And so what I did is that I knew we could have gone to Beis Din, and Beis Din would have allowed you to foreclose on my property. I know we could have done all that. I just wanted to avoid Beis Din. I didn't want to go to Beis Din. It's embarrassing, the Gemara's terminology is kisufa. It's embarrassing to have to go to Beis Din. I don't want to go to Beis Din. But let's not call this a willing sale of my property over to you. So the Gemara says that's the counter argument. So good. So we have arguments going back and forth whether or not in the event that the borrower willingly hands over the property to the lender in order to satisfy the obligation, does he also give him the ability and the position to buy back his property? And the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. And finally, one more issue the Gemara is going to go over. Me'ebas achel peira. At what point in time now can the creditor start eating the fruit from the field? So Rabbar me'michi macha adrach liyadei. So the Gemara here puts different time frames in terms of when the lender is going to be considered the owner of the property. One is when he gets a letter of seizure in his hand from the court. Abaye Amar Eda Bechasumim Zachinlo. Abaye says, and we've heard this position of Abaye already a number of times earlier in the Masechta, once witness is signed on the document, that is it. Meaning that the signing of the document already awards, even if the creditor is not holding the seizure document, but just the signature on the document by itself is going to be enough. And finally, Rava Amar Michi Shalimu Yemeask Achrazasa. And Rava actually pushes it out, and that is until the days of the auction are over. Remember that after the creditor gets a letter of seizure allowing him to take the property, there still is going to be, we discussed this at the end of Baba Kama, there's still going to be a 30-day period, grace period, in which the borrower is going to be able to auction off his property, and a proper auction so that he gets the most amount of money for his property. And so, according to Rava, the foreclosure is not going to be able to properly foreclose on the property, eat fruit from the property until we go through the whole entire process of letter of seizure and also time for auctioning off the property as well. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya from yesterday. We begin now the next Mishnah. We're on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, and now we begin the next topic in the discussion of Socha Par Mechavera. This Mishnah is going to be slightly intuitively off. You'll see what I mean. Hasocha Par Mechavera, so let's say I go to my friend and I rent an animal from my friend. V'hishila la'acher. And then what I do is that now I'm currently renting the animal, and my next door neighbor comes and says, you have an animal you can lend me? Sure, no problem at all. And I lend him the animal that I myself rented. Okay, now the obvious issue which I'm going to avoid right now, not avoid, ignore, that's a better word. I'm going to ignore it right now, and later we're going to come back and discuss it, because the Gemara is going to discuss it. So that's why right now I'm just ignoring the issue is, does the renter have permission to lend it to somebody else? Okay, that's an obvious issue. It's an obvious question that needs a response. I'm just not going to respond to it right now, knowing that the Gemara later on will address this question head on. I know in car rental companies, so the car rental company gives you absolutely no permission to allow anyone else to drive the car. You cannot lend the car out to anybody else. So as a renter of a car nowadays in America, so obviously it's a very clear and exclusive right for you and only you to drive the car. The Mishnah, however, discusses now just basic questions of liability. And again, knowing the question, the elephant in the room right now is, well, did he have permission to do so? Yes or no? Again, stay tuned. We're gonna come back to that. So asocher par mechaver v'hishil al acher. So you borrowed the animal from your friend and then you lent it to somebody else. Umesa kadaka. But the animal died not in an unusual way. The animal died in the way that it normally would die. So, what is now the liability? Yishava asocher shemesa kadaka. Now, as far as the socher is concerned, he's a renter. Now, if he would have had the animal, so he would have been exempt from having to pay. Remember, a renter is liable for geneva v'aved of the animal stolen from him. If he lost the animal, so those are considered acts of not gross negligence, but still mild negligence, and he would be liable under those conditions. But over here, the animal died in its normal state. Of course, the only issue over here, and it's not a small one, is that he at the time was not the custodian of the animal. He sub-leased it, or in this case, sub-lent it to somebody else. So the Mishnah says that Yishava HaSocher Shemetz HaKadarka. So the Socher is going to make a shvua that the animal died under not unusual circumstances. V'ashol Yishalom HaSocher. And the Socher himself is going to be exempt. And here's the part that may be a little bit off-putting. And now what's going to happen is that the Shoel, who borrowed the animal, who is going to be responsible for such death, so the Shoel, because remember, the Shoel is responsible even for onus, even for things that happen beyond his control. Now, it's true, as we mentioned just yesterday, that the Shoel is going to be exempt from Mesa Machmas Malacha. As long as you're using the animal in its general usage, so you're going to be exempt. But over here, that's not what happened. The animal just simply dropped dead. So the Shoel would be liable for such an event, for such a circumstance. So what's going to happen now is that the Shoel is going to have to pay the Socher for the value of the animal. Okay, Ad Kan Divrei Tanakama, that's the Tanakama's position. And so yes, according to the Tanakama, now it comes out that the owner of the animal is not going to get any reimbursement for his loss because the one who rented it at the time was a socher. And as a result of that, he himself would have been exempt. And the socher and the guy who rented it is now going to be receiving the full value of the animal as he sub-lent it to somebody else who would be liable for these terms. I'm Rav Yossi. The Gemara Rav Yossi says, "Ketzad halaosas chora beperasim shochaveiro." Rav Yossi does an excellent job articulating probably what you're thinking right now. How can the renter benefit, gain, and profit from an animal that does not belong to him and it belongs to his friend? Ela tachzor par labalim. But rather, the animal, and the animal's now dead, value of the animal should be returned back to the original owner. And Rav Yossi says, and that's what should happen. Okay, so there are, in a very specific case in the Mishnah, where you rent the animal and you sublent it to somebody else, and then the animal dies. So what would be the consequence? So according to the Tanakhama, Socher swears to the owner that the animal just died. It was an ones, and he would be potter. Borrower swears to the lender. Lender and renter here are one and the same person. Borrower says to the lender, "Look, I'm really sorry the animal died." Renter says back to the borrower, "Okay, and now you're going to have to pay me because you are liable for such an event." And according to the Tanakhama, and that's what's going to happen. Borrower is going to pay the renter for the value of the animal. Rav Yossi to that demurs. He says, "I can't understand that. I can't believe that. How can we allow the renter to gain from an animal that does not fundamentally belong to him?" And Rav Yossi says, "But rather the value is going to go back to the original owner." Okay, I can't. Yes.
Isn't a Shomer
Socher
a higher level than a Shoel?
A Shomer Socher is not a higher level than a Shoel. A Shoel has more liability. Mm-hmm. More liability meaning that he'll presumably be more responsible. Mm-hmm. Right. The Gemara is going to compare, meaning what I'm saying is pretty accurate. The Gemara is going to make this point regarding Shomer Chinam versus Shomer Socher. Meaning the basic idea is that if you have less liability, so then you're not going to do as an outstanding job watching the animal if somebody has more liability. Okay, so Amalei Rav Idi Bar Avin La Abaye Mechti Socher Mi Bemaikani Lahai Para Bishvua. So the Gemara starts off with the following. I don't understand. This is a discussion within the position of the Tanakhama. How exactly did the Socher acquire the animal? So he acquired the animal with a Shvua. So v'neim olei maskir l'socher. So shouldn't the renter, the renter in this case being the original owner, shouldn't he say to the Socher, shouldn't he say to the renter? Okay. I'm using the word, I'm just listening to myself right now. I'm using the word renter for both the one who is doing the renting and the one who is actually renting the animal. Okay, so I'll be clear. Maskir, the owner of the animal, says to the socher, to the one who's renting the animal, Dal ana v'dal shvuasech v'ana mashvi'in adina b'ha de'shoa. So can the owner say to the person who's renting the animal, look, you're going to acquire the animal through your shvua, meaning it is your shvua that's going to exempt you from having to pay, and B, basically now make you the default owner of the animal. So can't the owner say to the renter, you know what, I don't want to hear your shvua. Meaning, I'm just gonna turn a deaf ear to your shvua, and I don't want to hear your shvua, because right now here's the story: my animal's dead, you sublent it to somebody else, so and the only thing that's going to allow you to acquire is the shvua that you're going to make to me. Basically, I don't want to hear it. And can the owner say to the renter, "I'm going to turn a deaf ear to your shvua"? Okay, so Amar Leh, so to that the Gemara says that sounds like a very good argument. So Misvar Socher Bishvuhu de Kakani La Mishas Misa Hu de Kani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're going into the question with a false assumption. You think it's the Shvua that is causing the Kenyan. The Gemara says that's not really true. The truth of the matter is that the death causes a Kenyan. Meaning it's a simple de facto fact that once the animal dies and the shomer is not liable for such an event because it was onus, it was something that happened above and beyond his control since the animal died, that is what causes the kinyan to occur. It is not the shvua. What's the purpose of the shvua? The Gemara goes on to explain. Ushvua kedei lahafiz daito shabal abayis. Shvua is only there for the purposes of appeasement. But the shvua is not what's creating the kinyan. The kinyan is the death of the animal. So now the Gemara says, so in theory that was a great argument, but the great argument is built on a false presumption. It is not shvua that's creating kinyan. It's the death of the animal creating the kinyan. Shvua is just there to serve as a form of appeasement. I'm Rabbi Zeira. Next couple lines of Gemara are going to be a little fun, but a little bit difficult to wrap our heads around. I'm Rabbi Zeira. Pamim shahabalim mishamim kama parsa socher. You know, we can construct a scenario. Meaning, what we're going to use right now is the model presented by the Tanakhama. And again, later we're going to discuss the Rav Yossi's position and who we follow but right now here's all we need to know just to understand these next lines of Gemara. The Tanakhama's model is that when the owner of the animal rents it out to somebody, and when the socher who's renting it out is going to sublend it to somebody else, so the beneficiary of the death of the animal is going to be not the owner but rather the renter. The Gemara says, now we have the model of that Tanakhama. So basically, we're going to construct a case in which let's just go through the case. We're going to construct a case in which we're going to find that the owner himself is going to have to pay, the socher is going to have to pay the renter. And forget having to pay him one time, we're going to come up with a case in which the owner himself is going to be paying the renter, that's what we'll call chutzpah now, is going to be paying the renter for multiple paros, for multiple cows. The Gemara says, let's envision the following scenario. The Gemara says, Hechidamik, the Gemara says, okay, let's come up with a scenario. So, agra mine mea yome. So let's say the renter goes over to the owner of the animal, says, I want to rent out your cow, and I want to rent it for 100 days. Fine. So now, contractual agreement with a payment of renting it out for now for 100 days. V'hadar shayla minei tishin yome. Now the owner goes to the renter's house and the owner says to the renter, look, I know I rented you the animal and the term of the rental is for 100 days. But you know what? I just had a job opportunity. I want to borrow the animal from you for the next 90 days. Now, I know. Okay, it's strange. I admit it's strange. But in other words, it can happen. And so now the owner is borrowing his animal. Now, by the way, at this point in time, it makes perfect sense. Meaning the renter has a contracted agreement to rent the animal for 100 days. It's totally within, right now, for these next 100 days, it's within his right to use the animal as whatever way he chooses. Again, as long as it's not negligence. So the Gemara says, fine. So now the owner is borrowing his own animal for the next 90 days. Now, hadar agre minei tamnin yumei. And now the renter comes back to the owner, and the renter says to the owner, look, I know you have the animal for the next 90 days. I lent it to you for the next 90 days. But within those 90 days, do you think I could rent it from you for 80 of those 90 days? So now we're having a sub rental within the sub-borrowing within the rental. The Gemara says, V'hadu shayla minei shivin yomei. Now, we're not done yet. Now the owner goes over to the renter, and the owner says to the renter, look, I know you rented the animal for 80 days from me. Can I, within those 80 days, now borrow the animal within 70 of those 80 days? Okay. So, everyone following? And if you're not following, I kind of understand. It's a strange scenario.
And then give it for free. Is he giving it for free?
Yeah, he's lending it out. Another, it's within his.
He's paying money.
I will say right now, it's within his right to do so. Okay, we're going to discuss later on whether it really is in his right to do so. But for the time being, let's just say it's within his right. And again, we're modeling ourselves after the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, and the Tanakhama of our Mishnah seems to say it's totally fine. So right now, we're within the model of the Tanakhama. So here we have now a rental followed by a loan. Followed by a rental, followed by a loan, followed now by another rental. Okay, it's really straightforward if you think about it. Okay, now it's all the same two guys, which the Gemara itself is going to wake itself up to. But for the time being, the Gemara now is constructing the scenario only to point to what could be viewed as an absurd conclusion. So I'm sorry. And then what happens is that the animal dies within the borrowing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, even though it's the owner of the animal who barred his own animal, and not only barred it once, but barred it twice, the animal died during this period of borrowing. Now, what did we learn in our Mishnah? Now, I know, right, Martin already figured it out. In other words, we're talking about the same two guys. But if we could just ignore that fact for just a moment. Here's what we learned in the Mishnah. When someone borrows an animal from a renter, and the animal dies, the borrower's got to pay the renter. That's what we learned in our Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama. Again, Rav Yossi disagrees, but we're just focusing and operating within the viewpoint of the Tanakhama. Now that we know that, so the Gemara says, so over here, if we just, and you got to put blinders on, if we just stay true to that pattern, so now what's going to happen is that the borrower, even though he's the owner, is going to have to pay the renter. And let's go one step further. He's not only going to have to pay the renter once, he's going to have to pay him twice. Because remember, now he borrowed the animal not once, but on two occasions. So now he's going to have to pay the renter once to satisfy his second borrowing. And he's also going to have to, we're going to then backtrack and go back to the first borrowing. And he's going to have to pay the renter again. So we are now coming to what, again, could be viewed as an absurd conclusion that the owner of the animal is going to be paying the renter for his very own animal, not once, but even two times in such a scenario. For every borrowing, he's going to have to pay a new animal. Okay. Amalei Rav Acham Yedifti, the Gemara says, okay, Amalei Rav Acham Yedifti, L'Ravina Mechte. So Rav Acham says, I really don't understand. The conclusion over here seems very unusual. So Chadaparihi, Ayla v'Afke, Afke mischiris v'Ayla l'sheila, Afke mischiila v'Ayla l'sheiris. He says, look, I don't understand. We're talking about one animal. We're not talking about multiple animals. And yes, the status of the animal changed from rental to borrower, from borrower back to rental, from rental back to borrower. That's all true, but it's all one animal. How can you pay multiple times for a single animal? So the counter argument to that is, yeah, but is the animal here? Meaning the animal's no longer here, the animal's dead. So if the animal's dead, so now we no longer have an animal of which to speak about. You're right, it all was one animal, but the animal's no longer here. So now basically we have rental agreements and borrowing agreements. And so based on the rental agreements and borrowing agreements, I don't think the conclusion is as absurd as you think so. So, Mar Baravashi Amar, Ein Lo Aleim Ela Shtei Paros, Chada de She'ela V'Chada de Schiras. So, Mar Baravashi says that the way I see it over here is that basically we're only looking at two cows, one that was borrowed and one that was rented. So, Shum She'ela Achasi, as far as the borrowing is concerned, even though it was done multiple times, but still, I'm going to view it as one borrowing, and Shum Schirasi Achas. And even though rental was done multiple times, but again, I'm going to look at it as one rental as well. So, De She'ela Kana Legarmi De Schiras, So, as far as the she'ela is concerned, the borrowing, so that's a complete kinyan. As far as the schiris is concerned, in other words, the schiris is just basically the term of the schiris, and that's it. And afterwards, it's going to be returned back to its original owner. So basically, even on this point, Mar Baravashi says, I'm not going to view it as multiple borrowings and multiple lendings. I'm just going to view all the borrowings as one and all the lendings as one. Okay, period, Adkan, a Gemara's entertaining and certainly It's certainly interesting discussion within the Tanakhama. Could we have a scenario in which the owner becomes a borrower, and could we then compound it with the owner having multiple borrowings and therefore would be obligated to pay the renter multiple times for the animal that he himself originally owned?
If there are multiple
people, would you say that? It's certainly, again, working within the framework of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the answer seems to be yes. Okay, but again, all this, I'm just making sure I'm being clear, all this is only working within the Tanakhama of the Mishnah. Okay, continuing on. Amar of Yirmiyah, Pamim Shishneim B'chatas, Pamim Shishneihem B'asham. Sometimes they're both going to be Chayev a Karban Chatas, and sometimes they're going to be both, they're both going to be Chayev a Karban Asham. Allah, please, a moment of explanation. We are discussing now where there are two people who are going to potentially be liable for this animal, right? In our mission, the case we're discussing is that where with the first person rented the animal, and then he sub-lent it to a second person. Okay. And then something happens, and they are both now going to be on some sort of hook. Now, some sort of hook because, as we've discussed already in the Mishnah, it could very well be that the socher is going to exempt himself by saying what happened. In this case, what happened is that the animal died on its own, right? No malfeasance, no negligence, and so the socher is going to be exempt. The shoal, on the other hand, is going to be liable for such an event, is going to be obligated. And who does the shoal pay? So again, in the Mishnah, there was a debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi, but that's not going to be our focus for now. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Right now, the Gemara is going to focus on the following, and that is... what if there was an oath? Each one of them has to make an oath, the socher and the shoel. Are there circumstances in which they're going to swear falsely? We'd like to think not, but it could be. Now, what happens as a result of a false shvuah? So, there's going to be a difference whether the false shvuah does not result in an exemption for money versus where a false shvuah does result in an exemption from money. And the basic rule is that if a false shvuah results in exemption from having to pay an obligation, so if you at a later point in time admit what you did was wrong, so you have to bring what's called a karban asham. All this is outlined in Parshas Vayikra. We went over this already a number of times at the end of Baba Kama. If you swear falsely that exempts you from having to pay, you have to pay a karban asham. If you swear falsely and that false oath that you have to that you made does not result in exemption from having to pay, so then you have to bring a karban chatas. For our purposes, that's all you need to know. And now with that in mind, Rav Yirmiyah says, once you know that, so we can now have scenarios in which where they're both the shoal and the socher are going to be chayv a karban asham. The shoal and the socher are going to be chayv a karban chatas. And then we could also have permutations in which one of the two is going to be chayv nashim, the other one's going to be chayv chatas. And let's go through each one of these cases. The truth of the matter is that once you know the rule, the cases are we can construct the cases ourselves. In fact, the Gemara later on is going to ask the question. You know, we could have done all this. Meaning, yes, it's good to know the rules and it's good to know how to apply the rules. But what did the Gemara just do for us other than apply the rules? But the Gemara, let's see the Gemara inside. Lamed Vav Amanal, towards the top of the Amud, the Gemara here continues. Pamim Shah Socher Bechatas Vashol Be'asham, Pamim Shah Shoel, sorry, Shah Shomer Be'asham Vashol Bechatas. I'm sorry, that was just the heading. Let's go. The Gemara goes to HaKetzad. We're going to go through each one of these cases. Number one, Kfiras Mamon Asham Bituis Vasayim Chatas. So the Gemara first tells us it's the rule. I already laid down the ground rules. If the shvua results in exemption from having to pay, karban asham. If the shvua does not result in an exemption to having to pay, it's just a false shvua, karban chatas. So pamim shishneim bechatas kigon. So the Gemara says, let's go over a case where they're both going to have to bring a karban chatas. What would that be? Kigon she mesa kedarka. Let's say the animal died a natural death. V'amre ne'ensu. So v'amre ne'ensu. And they both come up with a story where the animal died as a result of ones. Okay, now, it's not true, meaning that's not what happened. The animal died kedarka. The animal died in its normal in its normal work pattern. So the Gemara says, Socher de ben kach uven kach mifter potter bechatas. Now, as far as the Socher is concerned, truth of the matter is that whether the animal died as a result of work or whether the animal died as a result of ones, the Socher anyway would have been exempt. So by him lying, his lying is not creating exemption. All he's doing is just lying. Again, we're not discussing the motivation of why he's lying. It's weird. But he's lying. So the Gemara says, so therefore he has to bring a carbon chatas. Now Shoel, to ben kach uven kach chayev mechayev. Now as far as the Shoel is concerned, well, the Shoel is not telling the truth, but his lie is actually resulting in an exemption. Let me say that correctly. His lie is not going to be resulting in an exemption, because in either circumstance, the shoal is going to be liable, because the shoal is always liable. So therefore, you're going to be chayev chatas. So that's the case where both the socher and the shoal are going to be chayev karban chatas, because neither of their lies are going to result in exemption. Now we can have a case in which they're both going to be chayev karban ashim kagon. The Gemara goes over the scenario as well. Shenignavu, where the animal was stolen, the Amru Mesamachmas Malacha. And they both concoct a story in which the animal died as a result of its work. Now, that story which they're saying, which is a lie, is also going to provide an exemption for both of them. So the Gemara says that really they're going to be liable. The Kapatri Nafshayu. And now by both of them lying, telling the story that the animal died as a result of work, so they are both now going to be chayva karban ashram, because their lie is exempting them both from having to pay. Next, socher bechatas v'shoel ba'asham. Well, now we're going to talk about a case where the renter is going to have to bring a carbon chatas and the shoel is going to have to bring a carbon ashram kagon. Shemesa kadaka, the animal died in a regular manner, and the amru, and they both say mesa machmas malacha, that the animal died as a result of work. Now socher de menkachu benkach mifter so pater. So as far as the socher is concerned, either the truth or the lie would be an exemption from him from having to pay. So the truth of the matter is that he lied, but that lie did not provide him an exemption for money, so therefore chayv chatas. Chayv chatas, so therefore he's going to be chayv karmen chatas. However, shoel de mechayv b'meisa kedarka v'kapata nafshe b'meisa machmas malacha. But as far as the shoel is concerned, this lie is going to exempt him from having to pay, so ba'ashem. So he has to bring now a karmen ashem. And then finally, socher ba'ashem v'shoel b'chatas. One more case to go over where the renter is going to have to bring a karban ashem, the shoel is going to have to bring a karban chatas kagon, shenignava v'amru, the animal was stolen from the shoel, and their story is meso kedarka, that the animal died in a regular manner. Now, socher hu demechayev b'gneva v'aveda. Now, as far as the socher is concerned, so he would be liable because the animal was stolen. And this is something that would bring about a liability for the socher. Now, albeit the animal was not in his possession at the time, but that doesn't matter. Meaning that whatever happens to the animal, if that were to be in the possession of the socher, he would be obligated. The socher is obligated. So v'kapata nafshe b'meisa kedarka. By him concocting the story that the animal died on its own, so therefore he's trying to exempt himself from having to pay. So therefore b'ashem, so therefore he has to bring a karban ashem. Shoel d'benkach v'benkach chayv v'mechayva. So now as far as the shoel is concerned, remember, he's a borrower. For him, theft is not going to exempt him from having to pay. So over here he's lying, but the truth is not going to exempt him anyway. So his lie is not going to bring about the carbon asham, so therefore it has to bring a carbon chatas. Okay. Mesa machmas malacha is an example where he would the lying would not exempt him from having to pay. Okay, anyway, here's basically what just happened in the last Amud of Gemara. Rav Yirmiyah basically says that, again, you know the rules. If you lie and exempt from money, asham. If you lie and it doesn't exempt you from money, carbon chatas. Okay. So, under those circumstances, now, all we did is we took the rules and we applied them to our scenario in which they're both chayv karban chatas, they're both chayv karban asham, and one is chayv asham and the other is chayv chatas, and again, we just simply apply the rules. And to that, the Gemara says, thank you, but thank you for what exactly? So, my kamash malan, the Gemara says, what just happened over here? What did we learn throughout the course of this entire discussion? Really, nothing. Meaning, We just simply took the rules that we knew and we applied them, but we didn't learn anything. So the Gemara says, Lafuke midirabi am. And the Gemara says, no, that's not true. There is a chiddush over here because the Amar Koshvua Shehadayanim Mashbien Oso Ein Chayav Mala Mishum Shvius Bitui. Shenemar O Nefesh Kisi Shava Levate Besfasayim Kisishba Me Atzma. The opinion of Rabbi Ami goes like this. If you make a false shvua on your own, so then you're going to have the liability that the Torah provides for you if you make a false shvua. But if Beis Din is the one who is adjuring you to make the shvua, so then you're not going to be liable a carbon under such circumstances. He has a drasha, he darshans the pasuk, that results in this conclusion. The Gemara says that Rav Yirmiya obviously does not work with that starting point of an assumption, and so the chiddush is that Rav Yirmiya does not agree with Rabbi Ami. Kamash malon to look at Rabbi Ami. That's the chiddush contained in this discussion, is that Rav Yirmiya does not start with the assumption that Rabbi Ami does. Good. With that stated, Itmar, the Gemara now is going to be discussing an issue which I tabled all the way back from the Mishnah, but now we get to readdress it because it really is one of the overarching discussions in this Gemara, and the Gemara now will tackle this issue head on. Like I said earlier, when you rent a car in this country, so the contractual agreement is such where you cannot give it to anybody else, you can't lend anyone else a car, you can't have anyone else drive the car. And that was clearly stipulated in the contract, in the car rental agreement. Fine. The Gemara now wants to know the following. In the case of a regular shomer, if let's say I was given the custodial responsibility to watch something, can I then sub anything it? Sub rent it, sub lease it, well, that's the same thing. Sub lend it, sub... What else can we do? Sub shomer chinam it. Can I give it to a second person and tell him, look, I was dutifully bound to watch it. I am now handing over the reins over to you. You will watch it. Can he do that, yes or no? Now, I think we can all agree that with permission, the answer, of course, is yes. Meaning, if he goes over to the owner and says to the owner, hi, how are you? Good morning. Can I sub rent it? Can I sub lend it? So under those circumstances, if the owner says yes, so then we don't have much of a discussion to talk about. What we're discussing over here is assumptions. Is there an assumed and presumed ability for the custodian to hand it over to somebody else without having to go to the owner and ask him? Yes or no? So Itmar, Shomer Shemasal Shomer, Rav Amar Pater, Rav Yochanan Amar Chayef. Well, the Gemara doesn't really speak in terms of yes or no. The Gemara speaks in terms of liability. Is there going to be liability if the first shomer hands it over to the second shomer? So Rav says exemption. Now, even when Rav says exemption, let's understand. The first shomer is not going to be totally exempt. Meaning, let's say, for example, the first shomer was a shomer chinam. All it means is that the first shomer is going to be exempt for whatever he normally is going to be exempt for. And by him handing it over to a second custodian is not considered an act of negligence or malfeasance. The first shomer is going to be exempt for whatever he originally was exempt for, and he's not going to bring about a new liability, additional liability by handing it over to a second shomer. That's the opinion of Rav. Rav Yochanan says no. Rav Yochanan says, once the first shomer hands it over to the second shomer, that's it. That is considered malfeasance. And so the first shomer is now going to be liable under any and all circumstances. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Now, Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, I would like to flesh this out even a little bit more. Litame derav lomi bayi shomer chinam shemasal shomer sacha di'ilui ilave lishmira so. I'm going to say like this. According to Rav, it doesn't matter whether the first shomer was a shomer chinam and the second shomer was a shomer sachar. Now, is that an upgrade in shmira? You bet it is. It is absolutely an upgrade because the shomer sachar has more liability. And the assumption going into this is that with more liability comes more responsibility. And obviously the shomer sachar is going to take even better care of it. So Rava says, I'm sorry, Abaye says that under those circumstances, it goes without saying that Rav will tell you that the first shomer is fine. But I'm going to go even one step further. Ela afilu shomer sachar shemasal shomer chinam digrui gara lishmira pater. But I'm going to go even one step further. Let's say the first shomer was a shomer sachar. Again, high liability, high responsibility. And what he does is that he hands it over to a shomer chinam. Shomer chinam, he's not paid. His level of shmira is going to be intrinsically inferior. Abaye says, I'm still telling you that Rav will say that this is not an act of malfeasance, it's not an act of negligence. Rav would still say under the circumstance that it's going to be pater. Now, my timer. Now, that begs an explanation. Why should that be? So the Gemara says, the hamas or the bendas? Because, yes, it's true. The person that I hand it over is going to have less liability than me. And probably the shmira may be an inferior shmira. But I gave it to somebody, I gave it to a responsible party. I didn't just simply give the animal, let the animal go. I gave it to a responsible party, someone who the Gemara describes as a ben das. As a result of that, I am good, according to Rav. And Abai says, and let's now go out to Rav Yochanan, and I'm going to flesh Rav Yochanan out even a little bit more. Rav Yochanan says that when the first shomer hands it over to a second shomer, that's an act of malfeasance. And therefore, the first shomer is going to be liable under any and all circumstances. And Abai says, within Rav Yochanan Shita, it goes without saying that if the first shomer handed it to the second shomer had less shmira, that certainly is an act of malfeasance, but I'll take it even further. El afilu shomer chinam shemasal shomer sachar diilui la'avilu shmira so chayev. But I'll say that even if it was an upgrade in shmira, it's going to be chayev. Were you the key to what? Oh, of course. It will be an act of... It will be considered chayiv. Why? The Amar lei ein ritzoni shei pikdoni biyad acher. Because Abaye fleshing out the opinion of Rav Yochanan says, look, I wanted you to be the shomer. Even if you gave it to somebody who's going to quote unquote have more liability and more responsibility and be a better shomer, you notice I didn't give it to him. You notice I gave it to you. I gave it to you because I trusted you. And I felt that you would be the right party to watch my item. I don't think he's going to be a good person. I don't care that his liability is greater than your liability. I didn't give it to him. I gave it to you. And so therefore, the first shomer handing it over to the second shomer is considered an act of negligence. It's malfeasance. And therefore, the first shomer is going to be chayev under any and all circumstances, according to Rav Yochanan. Okay, so what we have so far now is a basic machlokas. Can the first shomer hand it over to the second shomer without first consulting with the owner? Rav says yes. Rav Yochanan says no. Rav says no. That is not considered negligence. And Abaye fleshing out Rav's position, even if I give it to somebody who has less liability, it's still not considered an act of negligence. Abaye fleshing out Rav Yochanan says Rav Yochanan would find the first shomer to be contemptible, even if he hands it to someone who has more responsibility and more liability, it's still an act of contempt. Why? Because the owner could say to the first shomer, that's not what I wanted. I didn't want you to hand it over to anybody else. Okay, so I'm Rav Chista. Ha de Rav la beferishid mar ela mechlala dehanu. I'm sorry, ela mechlala. Now the Gemara makes the following admission. You know, says Rav Chista, Rav never actually said this. We assumed this was Rav's position based on the following story. The Gemara tells the story. Dehanu ginai dechol yuma have mifkede marayhu gabe dahu safta. Every day, the gardeners would hand the garden tools over to this elderly woman, entrusting her to watch it. Now one day, instead of handing over the garden tools to the elderly woman, who they normally do, they handed it over to one of the gardeners. Apparently, he was, for whatever reason, he was still in the garden, and they handed it over to one of the gardeners. So now this one gardener who was left back is the shomer of everybody else's garden tools. Now, Shamakala Behilula Nafak Azal. So now, this one gardener who was left on the field with everybody's garden tools, now hears that there is a wedding going on, and he did not want to miss the opportunity. It's a wedding. So what he did is, quickly he ran to the wedding. But before leaving for the wedding, he takes all of his garden tools that were handed over to him. He was a shomer. And he handed over Afkadunu Lagabe Deistafta. Now he handed over to the elderly woman. Does Azov Asa Ignov Marayhu So now, as they all come back now to the garden, all the gardeners, so they find that the garden tools were stolen from the elderly woman. So Asa coming to Rav Upatre. Now they go over to Rav and they say to Rav, what would be the halacha over here? And Rav says, well, exemption. Meaning that the first gardener was totally within his right to hand it over to the elderly woman. Now, here comes the misunderstanding, possible misunderstanding. Now, man dechazei saver mishum shomer shemasal shomer pater. So the Gemara says, now, whoever saw this case said, oh, you know what Rav, you know what's the basis of Rav's ruling? Because the gardener, the lone gardener who was left watching all the garden tools, so when he hands it over to the lady, to the elderly lady, so that's shomer shemasal shomer, and Rav must be of the opinion that shomer shemasal shomer is going to be pater. But the Gemara says, velohi, but the Gemara says, but that really truth of the matter is, it's just simply not true. Shani hasam dechol yuma nami inu nafshayu gabai da'isavta havu mifkedilahu. You see, over there, that was not malfeasance. Because over there, they handed over to the elderly woman every day. Meaning that when they handed over to the lone gardener, there was an implicit understanding that, look, we're going to hand it over to you, but if you want to hand it over to the elderly woman, we give it to her every day anyway. So this is not a case of shomer shemasal shomer, as it was understood that ultimately the elderly lady is going to be the one watching it. So the Gemara says that even though we think Rav is of the opinion shomer shemasal shomer is going to be pater, but the truth of the matter is that not necessarily, it may be chayav. Yasif Rav Ami bekamer la hashmaita. Rabbi Abba Bamarmala Rav Ami. The Gemara now challenges Rav Ami based on our Mishnah. And you knew that our Mishnah was going to become part of this entire discussion. So we go back to our Mishnah, and what happened to our Mishnah is that you had the renter who sublent it to a second person. That's exactly what we're talking about. Shomer Shemasal Shomer. The im V'imisa, let's just finish up this point. V'imisa, le'ma le'ein ritzonah she'ei pekdonah b'yarach. Now, for Rav Yochanan, you're right. So I don't understand. In our Mishnah, what just happened? The first shomer gave it over to the second shomer. And isn't that, by definition, according to Rav Yochanan, an act of malfeasance? So amar le hacha b'mayiskinan, kishenasna lo, rishus ba'am lahashi lo. So the Gemara says, and you probably also saw this coming as well, the Mishnah's case is talking about a very simple scenario in which, before the renter sublent it, he went over to the owner and says, can I or can I not do this? And he actually got permission. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, if permission was granted, so don't you think now that the shul should be paying money over to the owner, not to the socher? So he says, I give it to permission based on your terms, based on your intent. So in that very limited scenario, Rav Yochanan says, that's the context of our Mishnah. Permission was given, and as far as financial liability is concerned, only with the permission was granted under the terms of you being the renter and you deciding who you want to give it out to, and whatever your level of liability is, that's going to be our relationship, and that won't affect you and the second person. Adkan.